The Anton Savage Show
with Kearys.ie
on News Talk.
With me is Barbara Scully, broadcaster, writer and stand-up comedian. More of that in a minute. And Craig Hughes, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Now, before we kick off, guys, we're inundated with texts about Operation Transformation. That woman is 100% correct. This show shames people. Everybody has a different gut microbiome that should be the focus. Eat as much as you want of the right foods for you. The ultra-processed food industry is to blame for causing addiction to the wrong foods, and it's not our fault. We should not be starving ourselves for entertainment. Another, close the fast food outlets. People didn't, or obese people didn't exist 60 years ago. Mm. Then, Ireland is one of the most overweight countries in Europe, and we have now cancelled a show that helps reduce this. It's madness. Another, Anton, I will miss that show. It helped me. Another, I think the worst thing about Operation Transformation was the thing of parading people in swimming togs. A lot of people saying that thing of stand there till we look at you.
Yeah, now they did drop that a couple of years ago, but certainly in the first good few years of Operation Transformation, that was very much part of it, that the people who were overweight, who were on the participants, were paraded out in front of the panel, who certainly the female members all looked extraordinarily glamorous, and the presenter equally looked very glamorous, and they were paraded out basically in their underwear. There was also quite a degree. Now, they did tone it down.
I don't mean to cut across you, Barbara, but that bit always baffled me, because I would have thought a lot of the reason that people, and what they would say was part of the reason that they wanted to go on was to improve self-esteem as well as improving health. If you've got low self-esteem about your appearance, surely being forced to stand in your underpants on national TV doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. But the other thing that they did, at least once I remember watching, they reduced somebody to tears because they treated them like errant children. You know, if you didn't make your target weight in the previous week, they really spoke to people in a terrible way. Now, they did improve that in the last couple of years. Mm. But having said that, it was a program that certainly always made me feel quite uncomfortable. And the other thing that was interesting, sorry to interrupt you. You know the way they do the programs where they upscale a house, you know, whatever you call it, transform your house, make a new house.
Dermot Bannon, big windows.
Yeah, Dermot Bannon has big windows. Yeah. But very often, the British ones certainly, very often go back and revisit people. How did they get on then with after we did? I never saw them do that with Operation Transformation.
Interesting. A couple of texts saying bring back the leaders from each year and see how they are doing now, which would be an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
The real problem is what people are shoving in their mouth and laziness. I blame the supermarkets. Nothing but processed food. That is what most people are eating. The good food requires some effort to produce a meal. Even the kiddies are obese now. Pizza and chicken nuggets and the like are to blame. That program made people sit up and have a reality check. Just shove the problem under the carpet. That's the attitude. Health time bomb down the line. I imagine that Kevin Backhurst must have taken one look at an open letter criticising one of these problem, thought, I need this, like a hole in the head in addition to everything else.
Well, of course, before this as well, you had the Department of Health, who were previously one of the main sponsors for the show, and they pulled their funding in one of the first acts of this, of the Secretary General, Robert Watt, when he came into office. I remember at the time the Arctic Health Committee said, well, you know, came across his desk and said, no, why are we doing this, you know? So when there was questions,
that's actually a good
around,
point. There was direct state money poured into this. It wasn't just public service broadcasting ostensibly.
From the Department of Health, they were a sponsor of it for a long time. And then that was pulled, I think it was a year or two ago. So the writing was perhaps on the wall for Operation Transformation then.
We do need to talk about the upcoming elections, which is your bailiwick, Craig. Before we do, though, when we're talking about things that are getting pulled unceremoniously, is the portal dead?
you know, I think, well, what's the latest that it could be getting, could be coming back with some sort of technical adjustments to it.
But
Well, there's a thing that operates on radio where you have a 15 second lag, so that if somebody gets really libelous, somebody hits a button and that bit disappears. Could we do something like that where it's not just fully live, so that we can cut the bottoms?
Well, I hope so, because I've been enjoying the daily questions to our senior figures in government about their thoughts on the latest antics in front of Dublin's portal. And seeing their reaction to, oh, you know, be it an OnlyFans model bearing their chest in front of it, or some other colourful scenes on this side of the Atlantic. So I hope it's not gone forever.
See, the thing in this, Barbara, that I'm intrigued by is, it's an art installation, we are told. And so my understanding about art is that it's meant to get people to engage with it.
Yes.
And it is meant to stimulate debate. by God, the portal achieved both of those things, didn't it?
And you know what I love is the fact that this is going to be something like the portal and what's been in the media in the last few weeks has led to great conversations in my house with my adult children about, oh, wait, did I ever tell you about the time and the slime? And did I ever tell you about various other things that we did that didn't work?
I forgot the time and the slime.
To count down to the millennium. So like we have a history, first of all, of having these kind of not very well thought out, perhaps, ideas.
Put out Molly Malone in her chest.
Yep, the tart with the cart. But I have to say that I think that the whole story about the portal is such a great kind of snapshot as to who we are as a people. Number one, we want everybody to like us. Number one, we don't want to let ourselves down. And I think that, you know, there is a narrative that, oh, we've let ourselves down now. We couldn't behave ourselves with this thing live to New York City. But I think the other thing is that we are, I think, a nation of people who go against, if there's a rule, we go the other way. And, you know, obviously our history has something to do with that. We're also a nation of messers. And I think that this just captures it perfectly. But I also think there's been a huge bloody overreaction to it. Like a few bottoms and a few boobs. The thing about the boobs was interesting though, because I read in, I think it was Matt Cooper's piece today where Matt Cooper, there is a sentence
I never thought I would hear. A lead in. The interesting thing about the boobs that I was reading in Matt Cooper's piece today. Yeah. What did Matt say about them, Barbara?
First of all, Matt Cooper doesn't think that mooning is funny.
He does not think it's funny.
But the other thing is he referred to racism with the OnlyFans woman who exposed her chest and then said, look at my potatoes. So referring to potatoes to Irish people is now racism. I mean, I don't know. I just think it is the most wonderful kind of snapshot of who we are as a people. And I think it lends a whole new definition to the word having the crack. Yeah. Boom, boom.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, I must say...
Can you raise the tone in any way here, Craig?
No, I'll go now.
I just have to disagree with my fellow columnist in the Daily Mail today, Matt Cooper, that, you know, I did find the mooning a bit funny, you know, I'm going to say it.
It's all about context, really, isn't it?
Well, my God, if you walk past any fellas, middle-aged men, doing gardening or doing any kind of DIY...
Let's move on from this point. Let's not fixate too much.
You don't need to go to the portal for it.
Greg, let's raise the tone. politics, of course, this being your bailiwick, given that you're political editor for the Daily Mail. The Times today has a breakdown of... the likely polling, which is complicated because there are so many candidates across the various different elections, and when you get into proportional representation, the transfers make a big difference. But what's interesting is this move that we were predicting of a shift to independence, the big parties still are being predicted to do particularly well.
Yeah, I guess the interesting thing from this poll is that it kind of predicts the big three parties getting at least one seat in each of the three constituencies. Now, particularly with a European election, things can fluctuate quite a lot in a campaign because the constituencies are so vast. There'll be a big emphasis on the television and radio debates because the constituencies are so big to get around that they'll play a massive role, and also the campaigns are running online. So I don't be surprised if the figures fluctuate a lot there. But I guess the key thing is the big three parties will be relatively happy, particularly on the government side, the two government parties, that they will be having a foothold in each of those constituencies. I think the interesting thing, and I was writing about this a bit today in my column, is that the move by Simon Harris, the new Taoiseach and leader of Fine Gael, to really own the migration issue has been, I would attribute, to the boon and support for Fine Gael in the recent poll. I interviewed a Swedish anti-immigration MEP the day before Leo Varadkar resigned, actually, in Brussels, and he said that he was seeing the same mistakes being made in Ireland as made in Sweden, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and that the three main parties, including Sinn Féin, couldn't grasp that nettle because they'd gone in one direction for so long.
Because it was perceived to be a racist nettle, is that it?
But also because they'd gone with their policy on migration so adamantly for so long that to suddenly reverse it would be too much. And I was beginning to agree with him, and then when the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar stepped down and Simon Harris came in, it gave this opportunity for, I guess, a kind of a political rebirth of sorts, and he's done a severe pivot on the issue. And
is it perceived as an effective pivot? Because we saw the big cleanup on Mount Street and there was a sense of, oh, new sheriff in town. And then you discover, well, the new sheriff in town hasn't achieved much other than moving people to the Grand Canal.
So I two things on that. One is he's taken ownership in the sense of that if those tents still remain there In Dublin City in a month's time, it'll be Simon Harris's failure to own, right? So he's taken a calculated gamble there that he can solve that issue. This week at Cabinet, they majorly reduced the entitlements for a whole swathe of Ukrainians in the hope, I would imagine, that some of them don't stay in the country or self-sustain themselves and free up space for international protection applicants. There's now a review ongoing of all other entitlements to international protection applicants. I would think one thing that they're going to look at is extending the period of time that an asylum seeker has to be here before they can work. It's currently 6 months. It was previously 9 months. Don't be surprised if it goes back there. And you're also hearing murmurings of perhaps charging people rent who have been granted refugee status but are still in direct provision. So all these things are what they're calling, you know, pull factors. So look to see a real hardening of that. But the key thing to come back to is, and this is, I think this is where the centre ground has been on a lot of this, whereby people want to see that the system is fair, okay? And this was underscored by Helen McEntee's disastrous performance at the Orcus Committee last month, whereby there was 188 cases last year where other countries had agreed to take back asylum seekers, right? They said, we'll take them back, and only 3%. So that's, the system isn't working, right? So until they can say, okay, if your case is judged upon and you're found not to have permission to stay here, that you have to leave. So that'll be the long term, that's the big test for them. If they're going into the election and that hasn't been solved, it's a big issue.
We're going to be speaking out of 10 o'clock with Regina Doherty, who's Fine Gael candidate for Dublin in the European elections, Rory Hearn, Social Democrat candidate for the Midlands Northwest constituency, and Kevin O'Mara, independent local candidate in Carrigan-shire, just to get a sense of the kind of issues and how significant migration is amongst those. So we won't go too far into the depth of it at this stage. If you do want to see any of the details, the Irish Times has that poll on the front page. Interesting on both the portal and Operation Transformation. On Operation Transformation, they volunteered to go on the show. If you don't like it, don't watch it. It's your choice. Anton, I totally disagree with Barbara. Where has decorum and decency gone? Indecent exposure is disgraceful. We have disgraced ourselves again. And another, has there been anything that the New Yorkers have done that is embarrassing? Well, the young woman with the potatoes
was New
York. She
was on the other side.
She was on the other side. So there's a pair of us in it, effectively.
Yeah. But I think we've overreacted, for God's sake.
53106 at a cost of 30 cent or 087-1400-106. The other story that is making the news this weekend, which is a bizarre one, is Scottie Scheffler, the most positive and benign, God-fearing golfer, getting himself arrested.
Yeah, now, I let me first of all say, I had never heard of Scottie Scheffler until about 20 minutes ago when I read this piece. So that's number one. The sport passes me by completely. But yeah, apparently he was on his way to the PGA Championships, and which was not funny. Like, a pedestrian was knocked down and killed by a shuttle bus outside or nearby. And
totally separate to him. Nothing
totally
to do with
separate
him. Separate incident.
But the police had set up a cordon, I think, in response to the fatal accident. And he was coming up and he was charged to slow down, coming up to the cordon. And instead of that, he accelerated up and a police officer threw himself out in front to stop him. And I think he dragged him along a little bit. And as was reported in the police report following, they detailed this officer's injuries, which didn't seem to be too bad. I think there was wrist and hand injuries, but also his uniform trousers, which had a value of $80, were destroyed beyond repair. And for all of this, Mr. Scheffler was arrested and pictured in an orange
and charged,
suit.
Just and facing two charges. The bit in this, Craig, that I don't understand is, my understanding is that Scottie Scheffler makes Daniel O'Donnell look like a rebel without a cause. Like, he is a fairly quiet, demure, you know, he's not the John Daly that you would expect to be involved in an incident like this.
Yeah, no, it's one of those instances where I'd say, what, a rush of blood to the head, or, and as he called it, a big misunderstanding caused him to accelerate. But it's just, you wonder how it got so far, how we managed, and how the American police officer jumping on top of the car, just all seems very surreal.
I'm also very surprised that the American police forces spend $80 on uniform trousers. That seems an extraordinary amount of money to spend on a pair of uniform trousers.
But I suppose it'd have to be tough now.
Even still,
it'd have to be hard wearing.
You go visit a Middle Isle, you'll find a knockoff Snickers pants and a lot cheaper than
that.
Anyway.
Are you suggesting that our Gardaí are wearing Middle Isle from Lidl Garda trousers?
Final thing, while we're on the sublime and ridiculous, the ridiculous end of the spectrum. This, I know, is all you've wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Bennifer. It's all over, apparently.
Apparently. There's a whole two pages on this in the Daily Mail, which details their romance from top to bottom. But basically, yeah, it seems to be all falling apart. And the bottom line, let us just cut to the chase. The bottom line is she craves publicity and he's a moody fella. And it's, you know, it's all going to fall apart, apparently. She was alone at the Met Gala. And this,
oh, well, if and you're alone people, at the Met Gala.
And she was the co-chair of the Met. That's a whole other thing, the Met Gala.
Don't start. Now, but, I mentioned when you came in that you are going to be doing this is, and fair play to you, because in terms of bravery, there are a few things.
Well, you can say fair play to me the next time I'm in here and if I survive.
You're going to do stand-up comedy.
I am, yeah. I kind of mistakenly got involved in this show last year when I was meant to do a reading that kind of evolved, but this time I'm doing it as a stand-up. Yeah, there's an event in Whelan's on Monday night at 8 o'clock called Funny Women, All Women, Proper Comedians on the Bill. Headlined by Emma Doran, and Muggins Magoo here has been decided to put herself forward to do a 10-minute slot in the middle of it as well. There are still tickets.
Have you got 10 minutes? Have you got your material together?
Oh, Anton, I've learned about comedy that you rehearse and you rehearse and you rehearse to make it look like you're just shooting the breeze. But
well,
no,
fair
now,
play
the problem
you.
Will be as a 60-year-old woman that I can remember what it is that I've rehearsed and what follows from what. But I have arms.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen Bill Burr go out with a notepad, so yeah, I'm sure it might be worth thinking about.
That could be that.
While we're talking extracurricular activities, I should also give a nod to Craig, because Craig is largely responsible for the Night and Day Festival up in the Lochee Forest Park. And the reason why I mention that, apart from that it's a very good thing, is that we are going to be transporting ourselves to the Lochee Forest Park for that festival on the 29th and 30th of June. You've got Bell X1, Damien Dempsey,
Mick Flannery, Susan O'Neill, Gemma Hayes, yeah, The Undertones, the Frank and Walters. So, yeah, it's going to be great. 3 days of camping. You're there for the Saturday and Sunday.
Looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
Have you got your tent?
No, believe it or not, I have rented a camper van. I'm going posh. Yes, more on that as well.
Oh, wow.
And you'll guarantee the weather, isn't that correct?
Yes, indeed.
June is a great month. June will be lovely. Yeah. Long nights.
Yeah, you can arrive. And if you don't arrive by camper van, I think we're the only festival in the country where you can arrive by boat.
So you can stay on your boat.
Yes, you can.
If you want to find out more, nightandday.ie. If you want to find out more about Funny Women,
Whelan's Live.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.